Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Very pleased to be brought to you by Sunbury Motors. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Last night, a slice of history. Roger Clemens did it twice, including against Detroit. Kerry Wood of the Cubs did it. And last night, Max Scherzer of the Washington Nationals, 20 strikeouts in a nine-inning game.
The long pause. Now the kick. Here it comes. Swing and a miss! Swing and a miss! He struck him out with a slider! He has tied the Major League record for strikeouts in a game with 20 strikeouts! Randy Johnson, Kerry Wood, Roger Clemens, and now Max Scherzer are the only pitchers in the history of this game to fan 20 in a game.
In a 20 and a 9 inning game, Randy Johnson, of course, Kerry Wood, and Randy Johnson I inadvertently left out. And Roger Clemens did it twice against Seattle and then against Detroit. And Max Scherzer joined him last night. Now, when I say that, that's in a 9 inning game. And just an addendum to that, Thomas Chaney of the Washington Senators, I believe, struck out 21 in a game. It was an extra inning game. I just want to make sure. It's been a long time. Let's see. Blah, 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 blah. Most notable striking out, highest number of batters in a single major league game. In September 12, 1962, while a Washington Senator, he struck out 21 Orioles in 16 innings en route to a 2-1 win. See, I haven't completely lost it, Sean, despite, you know, during the break you yelling at me, you've lost it, you're out of your mind.
Yeah, but that performance last night got me to thinking of, remember Crash Davis and his one of his quotes in Bull Durham?
Relax. All right, don't try to strike everybody out. Strikeouts are boring. Besides that, they're fascist. Throw some ground balls. It's more democratic.
Well, guess what? There are 27 outs.
That's right.
20 of them were really boring. It's a beautiful performance by Scherzer, who now has obviously the no-hitter and everything else and his perfect game and the whole deal. And now 20 strikeouts in a game. We are now 3 weeks away from the Coaches versus Cancer Golf Tournament here at Penn State. And it's the 20th annual event. And let's bring in the head basketball coach of the Nittany Lions, Patrick Chambers. Patrick, long time no talk. What was it, Tuesday, I think it was?
I believe it was Tuesday, yes, for lunch. Good to talk to you, though. We didn't really get a chance to talk like we normally talk.
No, we did not. But we're not going to on this show.
But I look forward to that day. So,
yeah.
Anyway.
It will be coming up shortly. 20th year of this. My understanding is that monetarily the tournament's ahead of where it was last year, but there are still openings in this year's tournament. Fair assessment?
Fair assessment. The committee has done an incredible job. We just had a great meeting the other day. And we're ahead of everything because we started this much earlier. We started meetings much earlier. This is a very big deal, as you know, Steve, being the 20 years started by the great Bruce Parkhill back in the day and then through Jerry and Ed. Now we have it. So it's a pretty big deal. And there's spots open and please, there's sponsorships open. There's you can put signage out there, or volunteers are definitely open. We need more volunteers, but just come out, be a part of an incredible, incredible celebration of 20 years.
And also, we as captains also monetarily have to step up to help this out as well. I think that's an important part of this.
Yeah, you know, the captains need to go into their pocket just a little bit. we appreciate them being captains. We know how busy everybody is, but it would be nice if this time around we could really blow it out of the water and raise some funds.
Yeah, well, this is one that will. So we'll try and set an example there. Now, the event itself, the importance that this has become an event and not just a golf tournament.
Yeah, it is an event, right? It's important for the community. It's important for those who battle this disease and our survivors, our caretakers. I'm impacted by it personally. I'm sure everybody is in some sort of way. And it truly is an event. Be a part of this event and give back. I read something awesome last night. We have to continue to take responsibility for this. We have to continue to hold ourselves accountable to make this the best event it could be every year. That I've been here, the 5 years I've done it or the 4 years I've done it, it's been the number one event on the calendar without question. But we have to continue to go continue to do it. Like, nobody else is going to step up and be a volunteer. Nobody else is going to step up and be a captain. Nobody else. We all have to hold ourselves accountable and say, cancer's not going anywhere. It's not going anywhere. So let's just keep pushing forward, keep moving this thing forward, and do the best we can by putting smiles on people's faces, making people happy. That's why this has become such an incredible event year in and year out.
We went up to Albany a couple of years ago for the basketball game with Siena. It was a bad time for you because of your brother. That's the day I felt like it became incredibly personal for you.
Yeah, there's no doubt. When it hits home, your older brother you would admire and look up to when you're a young child, and then you see him go through his battles and his trials and tribulations, it means more. And it shouldn't have, because I know plenty of people, but when it's your blood and it's your family, it means more. And even if you don't have blood or family, even if it's a friend of a friend or you know somebody, I'm telling you, we have to make this the best event of the year. It will be. There's no doubt. Yeah. It will be. Steve, you already said it. It will be. But we have to keep it going.
No question. And here's the other part. Let's think of all the lives that actually have been saved because research money was poured in.
No question. I mean, because of we're trying to keep all the money here in most of the money anyway in Center County, we're truly helping in a great way by comforting and by relieving stress. Nobody understands what the caretakers are going through. Mm-hmm. They have to go home and go through the bills. Yeah. And if two people aren't working at that time, that can be a tremendous amount of stress and pressure on the person that's, you know, out there working, trying to keep, trying to make ends meet. So if there's another drive, there's the drive. You know, put a smile on somebody's face and let's really reach into our pockets or at least volunteer.
All right, and this is going to take place the second and third. We'll get back to it in a moment. Couple of basketball items. Joe Hampton's going to arrive here early because Oak Hill graduates earlier. And people forget about Michael Watkins and Terrence Samuel in all of this. Is the door open now to you, Patrick, to finally start playing the way you always wanted to play in terms of the speed of the game?
Yeah, I definitely want to push the ball more. You've always known that. I think the last 5 years we've tailored it to our personnel. This year we were very big heavy, forward heavy, and we played through the post more. And years prior, it was Tim Frazier or DJ. Now this year I think we're going to have a lot of different pieces that can really put the ball in the basket, but really push the ball up the floor. Maybe sometimes play a little bit smaller than I did the last year or so. So it's going to be an exciting style of play. We want to score in the mid to upper 70s and hopefully eclipse that 80 point mark, but in the Big Ten that's going to be tough to do. But we want to put the ball in the basket. We want to put pressure on teams to be able to get back in transition defense, because if you think about with Terrence, with Shep, with Tony Carr, with Isaiah, with Lamar, with Peyton Banks, with all these great athletes that we have, including Julian and Michael and Joe Hampton, that would fit best for this team. We should get the ball out of the net, get it up as quickly as we can, and get the highest percentage shot for one of these talented individuals.
You're not ready to release the full non-conference, but parts of it have been released. The Mohegan Sun tournament's been released. The Pitt part's been released. On paper, it looks to me like it's the toughest non-conference schedule Penn State's played since 2000-2001. You know, you're the one that put this together, and you haven't even announced they have not yet announced the ACC Challenge game yet. What is the importance of getting your thoroughbreds out there against great competition right away?
I can sense that you think I'm crazy, which is beautiful.
No, I didn't think. No, I actually like doing the games that you have out there.
Steve, there was a lot of thought that went into this. I want to get our program onto that stage, onto that platform, and I want to challenge this talented group that we have assembled as much as I possibly can. That's the only way that you can be prepared to play in the Big Ten. We won 7 games last year, which is wonderful and terrific. I think we surprised a lot of people. With the talent that we have, we got to go out and play some teams this year. We got to go out and challenge us. I get it. You know, there could be some losses there. But you know what? I'm very confident in this group. I'm confident in my staff. I want to put them in the most difficult situation. No more difficult situation playing Duke in Connecticut and then the winner of that. And then no more difficult situation of playing Pitt in New Jersey in a doubleheader. You know, you already know about GW, on the road at GW.
Yep.
No, you know, a road game with the NIT champions. We have to challenge this program. We have to challenge ourselves. And we have to be fearless in our approach. You know, a few years back, we were 12-1. It didn't work for us.
Right.
So this year, I felt like this is the group that, you know, who could handle it. Let's go out and go play the best. See where we are, see where we need to get better, or see what we need to work on, and then come Big Ten, we're going to be that much more prepared to play on the road, right? Because on the road, we did a poor job. We only won 1 game on the road in the Big Ten last year, which was a difficult game. And, you know, we went to Nebraska and played as poorly as I've seen us, you know, got beat at Purdue, got, you know, beat at Michigan. Like, we have to be able to go on the road in the Big Ten and win games.
Do you feel the 7 wins in conference last year was set up by what you did by playing Colorado, Kent State, and at GW, for example, as part of your non-con last year?
I do. I felt like the last, you know, GW right before exams there, and then, you know, the rec hall experience, I always think things like that help you. But going out to Vegas, you know, playing at the Palestra, I thought that always helps you. You know, going out to Vegas and playing a really good NCAA tournament team in Colorado and then playing one of the better teams in Kent State. I mean, I just felt like we were – that's why you played well against Maryland.
Yeah.
That's why you were in position to beat Maryland, because you had played some really difficult teams. And that's what it's got to be. Look, I want to put us on that stage. And I know we have to win games to get on that stage, but you also have to play the opponent.
Yeah.
To get on that stage, and I want more opportunity for this program to be able to win some of those games.
Well, your goal has been, look, let's be a first-class program across the board. The schedule is a component of that.
No doubt. In everything that we aspire to do, the vision of the program has always been to run a high-level program, an elite-level program that's not going to be afraid to go out and play the best teams in the country, either at a neutral site, on the road, at home. And that's what we've done. That's what we've done. And I feel confident in this group, and I hope they prove me right.
I'll bring it back full circle to where we started from. The coaches versus cancer coming up is another key component of that first-class nature of it. It started with Bruce Parkhill, and Bruce is going to be back for this again. Explain just the relationship you've developed with him over time and what he's meant to the tournament, but also what he's meant to the program.
You know, I appreciate you asking that question. he's been a great mentor to me. I've reached out to him on numerous occasions throughout all 5 years I've been here. Not quite 5 years yet, Steve. We're about a month away.
Three weeks away. I'm well aware. You made a quick cameo your first year because that's when you got hired.
Yeah, exactly. Bruce is down in Naples. And I go down there every so often, and we'll meet for breakfast. We'll meet for a coffee. And I really enjoy his company. He's able to help me, with Penn State and the Penn State way, and help me navigate certain things, and then be a mentor as far as a head coach who's been there, who sat in the chair of things that you don't need to waste your time there. You need to focus on this. These are the things that you need to do. I've called him throughout the season. We've emailed throughout the season. I can't thank him enough for being really a critical leader in my life to help me here at Penn State. And then, you know, obviously I met with him a couple weeks ago to talk about CBC and what it's meant to all of us, and for him to be a part of it every single year, and this year being the 20-year anniversary, I think Bruce is going to say a few words. So for any of the old-timers out there that know Bruce well and watched him coach, or players, former players, please, if you hear this, come out, because I know Bruce is going to have a great message Friday night after all the golf to tell us how it all started and how this thing has grown so much over the last 20 years. But the guy has made a huge impact in my life, and I'm forever grateful.
Well, I know you've talked repeatedly to Dick and me about the fact that you feel you're a better coach now just through pure experience than you were when you first started, and obviously that's been one of the components of it.
No question. You got to be a lifelong learner. I don't claim to know it all. I want to learn. I want to continue to learn, and anything I can take away from a guy who was one of the winningest coaches at Penn State, you want to sit down and you need to be all ears and be very receptive to what he has to say. And I do feel like guys like Bruce and other great coaches that are there at Penn State currently, like Russ and James and Cal, all those guys have added to my coaching and how we can all get better as coaches as long as we're open and willing to take information in. And sometimes we can be sensitive. Everybody can be sensitive and critical when somebody wants to, you know, give you some feedback. And I think for me at this stage in my career, I'm more open, and I got a little bit thicker skin. I got a little bit thicker skin these days than I may have in the past.
If you thought you knew it all, they'd give you a talk show. Oh, wait a minute. Okay.
That's why you have the talk show.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
and
yeah.
I'm going to coach.
Yeah. This year, by the way, the door is open to possibly passing $2.5 million in the total. CVCPennState.org. Visit that and be a part of this. It's going to be a great event on the 2nd and 3rd, the 20th annual. Patrick, thanks for carving out a few minutes today.
Steve, thank you, buddy. Always great to talk to you.
You bet.
Patrick Chambers. If you thought you knew it all, they'd give you a talk show. Oh, wait a minute. Key part of that, if you thought you knew it all. We'll come back with more in a moment. Today's show brought to you by our great friends at Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Christian Hackenberg has signed his contract with the New York Jets. So he's all set there. Also, Carson Wentz has signed his contract with the Philadelphia Eagles. Wentz is going to get a 4-year deal worth $26.5 million. But the Eagles have an option for the 5th year. That's a standard first-round pick. But that's the number the way it plays out. So Wentz gets his deal. Signing bonus is $17.6 million. The $26.67 million 4-year deal, it's all guaranteed. Signing bonus, $17.6 million. In fact, the Eagles have signed all 8 of their 2016 draft picks. So they're all signed. And Christian Hackenberg has signed his contract with the New York Jets. So some news to pass along to you. In a football realm, coming up, sports bozo of the day. Phone lines open at 1-800-795-9565. 800-795-9565. Love to hear from you today. Get your reaction to what Patrick Chambers talked about. We can talk football, a little bit of baseball, whatever you want. It's a beautiful day in May. News at the bottom of the hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We're brought to you today by the Sunbury Motors Company. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. There's the Sunbury Motors way, and there's the other guy's way. Well, the Sunbury Motors way wins every single time. Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Oh, and how about Jason Day? 9 under par 63 today at the Players on that course. Amazing.
And we got a five-way jam for second place currently, two strokes back behind Jason Day.
Jordan Spieth shot 72 today. They termed it an up-and-down round. Really? Yeah. It's I'll tell you, Day is the PGA champ. Quite a player. Quite a player. All right. Time now for the sports bozo of the day. LeBron James is one of the great basketball players of all time. I don't think there's any question about that. He's one of the top 15 to 20 players in the history of the game. If you want to rank him number one, you can rank him number one. But we'll at least put him in that general category of 15 to 20. So naturally, when Steph Curry wins the MVP unanimously, he's asked about it. And instead of just hey, it's great, it's awesome, I'm happy for him, what a great year, he's a great player, the whole deal, he then starts to wax poetic in his own mind about what is the definition of valuable. Okay. Here's the key. He is a great player. First overall pick in the draft. Won two NBA titles with Miami. Olympic gold medals. He doesn't need validation. He doesn't need it. There's no need for validation. And you can give credit to somebody else because guess what? You don't need it. And for some reason, he just has this feeling inside that he's got to talk. You don't have to subtly indicate to me that you're still great. I'm smart enough. I can watch the games. I can see you're still great. You know, I mean, you think I want to name LeBron James the sports bozo of the day? But, I mean, you just stop talking. Stop talking. All right. So the Eagles have signed all their draft choices. That's one thing the new draft system does, is it does allow you look to sign all your picks as quickly as possible, where you feel like there's at least some stability. I'm fine with how they do it now, and the reason that I find that I am fine with it is the players have not accomplished everything on have not accomplished anything on this level yet except being drafted. I think you have to get in there, you take your first contract, and then you go out and you prove yourself, and then you get yourself a second contract. I think that's just the way things should work. Sports is different than the normal world. And that's one thing you do notice, is that it is definitely different than the normal world. Yeah, you have done nothing yet, yet they've given you a four-year, $26.67 million contract. Hey, more power to him for getting it. All right, let's go. Let's start with there. More power to him for getting it. But it is different than starting out at minimum wage and then working your way through the company. So it's, you know, they've got them all under contract. They've got them all under contract, including Carson Wentz. So now they can just move forward playing football. And so that's what's going on. And the Phillies have the Braves again tonight.
Yeah, 5-1 win for the Braves last night. We got Vince Velasquez tonight against Aaron Blair. And last time Vince was on the mound, 7 hits, 4 runs over 6 innings of work. Mm-hmm. So looking to settle down tonight.
Yeah.
That was his first start with a no decision so far this season.
That is the only the second Braves home win all year.
2-16 now, I think it is. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So a couple of up-and-comers. Aaron Blair only 0-2. He'll be looking for his first major league win tonight for the Braves. Here on WKOK, we'll be on at 6:35 for On Deck.
And then
they got the Reds done this weekend.
Reds this weekend, as a matter of fact. So that'll be next after this. All right. 1-800-795-9565 is the number. It's one thing that we had Patrick Chambers on in the last half hour in talking about the schedule. And there are certain points when you're in your program where you've got to schedule up. They started doing that last year at Las Vegas tournament with Colorado, Kent State, SMU. All right, that, to me, that's one of those, okay, step forward moments. Then they played at GW last year. ACC Challenge game was on the road, but you know, it was, you know, it turned out to be BC, which was not very good. But you still had to go on the road to play it.
How many more years will be the Big Ten ACC Challenge?
Forever.
Like that.
Yeah, there's no, there's that, that's under contract for a long time. And that's one area where basketball has a little bit more freedom than I think football does, because they have more flexibility. Basketball does a better job of made for made for TV, made for event games. So in other words, Penn State can go to the Mohegan Sun. They can they could play Duke, they can play Cincinnati or Rhode Island. The Pitt game is set up as part of a 9-1-1 fundraiser, 9-11 fundraiser. I said 9-1-1, that's stupid. 9-11 fundraiser. And the And so those are made, that's 3 year games right there that are made for. And then they have the ACC Challenge, which is made for. Last year, Penn State also played DePaul in the Gavitt games. And so they do a better job of that. You have to take advantage of it, though, as a program. Penn State's taking advantage of it now. They're ready to step up. You know, look, is Duke the prohibitive favorite against Penn State? Yes, of course they are. But is Penn State now at least ready as a program to step up and start going nose-to-nose and playing teams like that? Yeah, you're darn right. You got to get to that point sometime. Same thing with playing a program like Cincinnati or playing one like Rhode Island, and the same thing with playing Pitt. Same thing with playing, you know, possibly an NC State or a Florida State here, which, you know, you're looking at the ACC Challenge as what the possibility might be. And so if you want to be a first-class big-time program, part of it is playing first-class big-time games. Well, that's part of it. Football's a little more difficult because the Big Ten has gone to the 9 conference game schedule. That only gives you the 3 openings. And as a business model, Penn State has to have 7 home games. It's the way it is. It's the way, you know, and that's what they're going to have to do. They'll have to play 7 home games. So that makes the scheduling more difficult. So you look at that second game of the year is the key one. So Penn State's got 4 straight years of Pitt being in that slot. Well, okay. So you've got that slot filled now, and that's the one you're trying to fill year after year after year. The other ones you try to fill in with games that are going to be games that will only be played at Beaver Stadium. So it's a little more difficult to get that kind of game in there. Basketball has more flexibility in it. But again, if you want to be a first-class program across the board, where you're trying to do everything in a first-class manner, then part of that has to be your schedule. Part of that has to be your schedule. And I think, you know, and that's, to me, an important step forward as to what Pat Chambers is doing. As for football, it's just a different proposition. And, yeah, it is a different proposition because you only have the flexibility of 3. And you need to do it. Look, the business model is, I've talked about the business model here many, many times. And the business model I've talked about many times. Look, football and men's basketball make money. Football makes exponentially more than men's basketball does, but they both make money. In the business model, there is a reality. You want every sport to do well. But in the end, those two have to be the two that open the door for everybody else. If you're a fan of a particular sport and you love a particular sport, it might make you bristle when we talk about that. But it's just the reality of it. Fox is not going to spend $1.5 billion over 6 years for Tier 1 rights to 25 football games and 50 basketball games a year unless they feel it's going to be that kind of draw. That Fox contract and that FS1 contract does not carry anything else but football and men's basketball. Those are the only two that are going to be on Fox and Fox Sports 1. Now, BTN is going to carry a lot more. In fact, as a matter of fact, today the Big Ten Network is here today because they have the Big Ten Softball Championships here starting today. But that's just the reality of it. Hockey makes a little bit of money. They about break even, but they do make some. And I know it's hard for people to fathom sports that sell out that don't. I know it's hard for people to fathom that sports that sell out aren't making money, but they aren't. And you can play with the numbers all you want, but it's just a reality. Like I said, you got $1.5 billion just for the Tier 1 rights, but it's only for football and men's basketball games. There is not going to be a single other sport carried on Fox or Fox Sports 1 from the Big Ten, not one. So what does that tell you about where the money's going? Well, it all goes into the pool so everybody else can benefit from it. And they will, and they should. That's why you have to have first-class men's basketball and you have to have first-class football. That's why you have to. That's why there's more pressure on those sports than any other sports. You got to be good in both because that's your economic engine. We'll come back, wrap it up in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
If you thought 100 years in business was impressive, SMC is going to show you 101 is even more spectacular. During the month of May, Sunbury Motors Ford is going to sell 101 new Fords by discounting every new Ford to the lowest price possible. Plus, give you more for your trade. SMC is where you want to be if you want to choose from 42 new Escapes starting at $18,880. SMC is where you want to be if you want to choose from 85 new F-150s starting at $23,749.
Saving you up to $11,400.
SMC is where you want to be if you want 0% financing for 72 months on Focuses, Fusions, Edges, Escapes, and Explorers. Now is the time to take advantage of Sunbury Motors' goal to sell 101 new Fords in May. SMC's goal is your gain. 101 vehicles sold means you'll save more money than ever before. Sunbury Motors and the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury. Selling more cars and satisfying more customers for 101 years.
Great to have you with us. Closing shop for today, final few minutes of the show, and another fun day today.
And we got the Oklahoma City tonight. They could eliminate the San Antonio Spurs in the NBA playoffs. And of the four teams that have won 65-plus regular season games and then trailed 3-2 in a best-of-seven, only one went on to win, and that was the Heat back in 2013. So Spurs behind the eight ball tonight.
They are. You know what? Here's the odd thing is they look old. I mean, that's the part that strikes me, that the Spurs, the last few games, have played old. And that part is the part that I think for Greg Popovich, I mean, it's not as if Aldridge doesn't have young legs, Leonard doesn't, Green to a point. But they played old. I mean, the fourth quarter, they've struggled. There have been points of the fourth quarter where they've gone 3 to 4 minutes at a time and haven't scored. That's the problem. And the younger legs of the Thunder, I mean, let's start with Durant, Westbrook. They're taking it to them. Westbrook still doesn't know how to, I mentioned yesterday, he's got to do a better job of changing speeds out there. But he's still, is a great player, and does a lot of things that a lot of people want to have on their team, believe me. And that is in Oklahoma City tonight. And the Spurs, I did not think... Look, the Spurs went through the season. It did not lose a home game until the final regular season game at home to Golden State. They've been beaten twice at home in this series. They're playing old for the first time in a long time. But that's okay. I broadcast old. Jordan Hill of the Seattle Seahawks scheduled to be on tomorrow. Looking forward to that. And looking forward to spending some time with you. We're at the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, Key Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Be safe. Have a great night.